All right, everybody, we are here. We are going to talk about this month's book club, all the things. This is Coach Yesenia and me. We decided to do a little panel tonight, just me and Yesenia talking about the things. She pulled out a couple of really good questions. Somebody said, aren't you on vacation? I'll be on vacation first thing in the morning. Like, I leave out actually on Tuesday. I'm working on the airplane. I have a project. I will be writing all the scripts for camp for ending self-sabotage. And I always have to create the content, the workbook and stuff. So I'll be doing that on the way out, on the way back. And then I have a couple of meetings on Wednesday that I have to go to that I choose to go to. Let's put it that way. I don't have to, but I choose to go to them. They're very important. And it will be exciting things for all of you in months to come. So that's why I'm going to do them. But I'm going to have all the drinks on Wednesday. We're going to play some Top Golf. We're going to do some hiking. We're going to do all kinds of junk. And then I'll be back on Sunday for all of you guys. So that's a little update on me. Yesenia, I am going to let you run this. And then I'm just going to jump in with anything you want me to talk on and stuff. And but I'm going to let you lead because I read the book a long time before you guys did. So
Yeah. Well, I wanted to recap the book for anybody who maybe, you know, maybe you haven't finished reading the book, or maybe you've been hearing all of us talk and rave about it, but, you know, maybe you didn't have time to read the book. I really want these calls to give you guys like the gist of the book, some of the top takeaways from the book. So that even if you didn't read the book, you'll get a lot out of it. If you did read the book, it'll help cement some of these things. So what I'm going to do, Corinne, so I'm going to read aloud some of like my favorite quotes from the book or some of the top takeaways. And if you have anything that you want to say about it, I think that would be perfect, or we can kind of riff a little bit about it. So the first quote that Sonya Renee Taylor says, she says, a radical self-love world is a world that works for every body. How we value and honor our own bodies impacts how we value and honor the bodies of others.
I think that was so important. So I was on a panel yesterday where we were just talking about, we're talking about equality, especially women. So we were, it was a panel.
I was listening to that.
There was a lot of us women, and we had a couple of guys on there to just start the conversation about, you know, women needing like, not only do we need a seat at the table, but we've earned our seat at the table, and how men can support us. And one of the things that I was telling them is that it's not even just a gender thing. It is a body thing. Like I remember being overweight and knowing that there were times that I was bypassed simply because of my weight when I worked in corporate. Like, just knowing that's what was going on. Yeah.
You're looked down on a little bit because of your size.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, we either can wait on the rest of the world to get on board, which is a long fucking wait. Or the best way to facilitate change in appreciating bodies and loving bodies is when we do the work on ourselves, when we become unapologetic about our body, when we start loving them, when we start refusing to throw ourselves under the bus and stuff. That is how change ends up being facilitated. You know, it's really hard to expect someone to respect your body when they see you all the time avoiding mirrors. You know, like not going to dinners or going out because you're so ashamed of how you look. You don't get respect if you don't earn, if you don't give yourself respect first. And that's just one of the things that I think is really important.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole point of the book, is that radical self-love, learning how to do that for yourself. Like you said, you're the one that has to start being unapologetic and just standing up for who you are, how you look, being proud of, you know, everything about you, right? Not just gender, your sexual orientation, your status as a mother or not, your race, your culture, everything. And right. I think that's why she wrote this, so that we can learn to do that. It's something that you learn how to do yourself. And it's something I heard her say that we learn to do collectively. Like, we're all doing this work together.
Yes. Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to like open this conversation inside our membership, because we are a weight loss membership. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all here and we joined for one reason. We were thinking, yeah, I really want to like lose my weight. But I want to make sure that I teach all of you how to lose weight from love. Most of us, what we've only been taught is how to lose weight from conforming to society and what the society standards. You know, I mean, I don't think many of us have ever really thought about what we would want to weigh and how we would want to live and how we want to be in our body, erasing all of the standards. You know, I was like thinking about this the other day, even like I get caught in the trap of sometimes wanting to lose more weight. Like I am like not in a fitness industry standard. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I can't even tell you how often I look in the mirror and I do like what I see. And then I convince myself that it's not good enough because of something external. It's like there's something in me that's craving my own love and acceptance and appreciation and stuff. And yet there's this external where I think like the world would like you better, or you would fit this mold, or, you know, whatever it may be. And that is work that I still do. And I have lost weight. So I think it's one of the things that I want to teach you, all of you, is you can lose weight and love yourself. Most of us just have never thought that when we lose, like when I'm teaching you to lose weight, I'm teaching you, I want you to like pay such good attention to your body and listen to it in such a honorable way that you wouldn't dare think about like, well, I should just eat because I've had a rough day. It's like, no, my body is saying, I don't need your food. I need you to learn how to have your heart and your soul nurtured and cared for by you. That's what I need. Please don't give me any more cookies over it.
Right.
That's losing weight from love. Go ahead, Yesenia. Yeah. Take back over. You just got to like run me. You got to run me, Yesenia.
Yes. Okay, so let me go over a couple other quotes. Really, really good quotes. She says, radical self-love is deeper, wider, and more expansive than anything we could call self-confidence or self-esteem. And this is something that she speaks of. She says, self-confidence, self-esteem, those aren't bad things. Those are good. They just don't go far enough.
Yeah. No, exactly. I think that one thing I remember when I was reading the book that I diverge with her teaching is the one thing that I know, and I've been actually studying this for the whole self-sabotage camp, mm-hmm. is that our brains, you know, however we think about ourselves, they're very locked into that story. And I think it's easy to say, like, we should just think this. Like, I think all of us can think of all the amazing things we should think of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whether we're going to, like, we may also, well, it's a bunch of horseshit. I mean, I know what I should think, or if only I could think these things. Like, we have, like, this idea of what we should talk to ourselves and think about ourselves. The problem is it's such a far leap for our brain. When our brain accepts this one narrative, this is why we have to do ladder thoughts. This is why we have to start neutralizing our body first. Would it be amazing? I remember when she was talking about it, I was like, hell yes, it'd be amazing if we all could just be like, fuck, I am all about me now. Like, that is amazing. And I intellectually get, like, it is a thought switch. Like, I totally get all of that. But I still have a habit brain and an unconscious part of it. It is still going to hang on to its narrative. So for me, what I have found that works, and this is the way that I teach you guys thought works, is the way I teach you how to lose your weight with your basics, with changing your food, is what is that, those first level steps that we can do to make sure our brain wiggles out of its ingrained story? It doesn't mean that. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I think it's really good to know how to do that, how to ladder up your thoughts, learn how to neutralize some of these like really terrible thoughts that we have about our body or being in a bathing suit. And I think for a lot of us, it was good to read this book and just see what is possible when it comes, like, what? Like, I didn't even know that extreme self-love is even possible towards myself, towards others, towards other kinds of bodies. I'm sure we've all had those thoughts where we see somebody who just has a very different body and like, no, that's a body too. That body is also worthy. That body is also, you know, it deserves to be loved. That body is also, like, there is no normal body. There's just all these types of bodies and they're all awesome.
I was, you know, it's so funny when you say this. I'm sitting here thinking about Logan, and I swear to God, I can't cry because I'm like got a fresh spay tan. So I couldn't even put on, all I could do is put on powder. So I was like, I had to wear like all the loose clothes because I didn't want a jacket. But I was thinking about Logan, and, you know, the world has kind of said that with his autism, kind of what his place should be, and the level at which there's just so much, right, defining going on there. And then I'm like with him, where he does not pay attention to the world. He just, he reads the stuff, and he literally chooses not to believe the narrative about himself. His self-concept is as out there and like, what did you just say? As Sonia's is. And it's literally a choice. I just sit there and just think that baby makes a choice to just believe he's fantastic. And he thinks of himself as super intelligent. Like, I wish, like, it is such the same connection. And it literally, like, I just think about all of us who are sitting around like, but I don't believe it, and I wasn't raised this way, and blah, blah. And I'm like, my son has read every article about autism and all the limitations he's supposed to have. And he has just decided not to believe it.
Yeah, we're so used to what we've heard society teach us, sometimes our own families, our own cultures, and we believe it. And it sounds like he does it.
Like, he just decided not to. And I just keep thinking, like, that's the magic when it comes to, like, really loving our body is we at some point, we just have to say, like, cut the shit and make a decision. Mm-hmm. Are we going to just keep believing everything that we think because our brain offers it? Or at some point, are we just going to say, I may not believe it yet. I'm willing to say it. I'm willing to, like, for some of us, it is just even scary to look in the mirror and just, this was me just like not too long ago. Like, I was like looking at my body and all of its scars and, you know, remaining loose skin and all the things. And I was having this conversation with myself saying like, I think I really am liking you. And is it going to be okay to like, just be like, you're awesome. Like, it was almost like I keep trying to seek permission outside of me that it will be okay to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to just realize there's nobody's permission we need for this, but our own.
Right. And then it is really cool to see people out there like Logan, who just, they don't buy into all the bullshit that the world is telling us. And I feel like my 9-year-old is the same way. She doesn't have autism, but she's, I mean, you hear her talk about herself. She has sass, she has confidence. She's just all the time, I'm amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh. I know some people look at her and they might say like, oh, she's a little too cocky, she's a little too much. I'm like, she is just enough, because I know that she's going to go out into the world. And, you know, so many of us girls, women, like, we go into the world with not enough confidence. And then the world kind of beats you down a little bit more on top of that. So
for sure.
Like, the more confidence and self-love we can teach our girls and all our kids, the more amazing shit they're going to go out there and do. You know, they're going to be ones making a lot of this change.
I think it's got to happen. Mm-hmm. It is like a lot of us, you know, on this call. I know you're, how old are you, Yesenia? 29?
I'm 29.
Yeah, you're 29. You know, I'm in my 40s. A lot of us are in our 50s and 60s on this call. Like, we've got wide range here. You know, we've got daughters and granddaughters and nieces and sisters and all kinds of people out there looking at us every single day and deciding how they're going to think based upon the model that we are displaying. I think we forget that, you know, it's not just about us. It's very often about the very people who are in your inner circle. No, as humans, it's called the mirror effect, but we look to our tribe that we have and we check them out and we decide, how we're going to be based on that. Like, do I feel safe? Do I feel okay? Do I fit in and stuff? That's our primal instinct. But we also have our conscious instincts, the reasoning part. This is what separates us from the animals. I was listening to something the other day, and the guy was saying, you know, an alligator doesn't get to wake up and decide every day. He's like, you know what? I'm kind of sick of being an alligator. I want to be a human. Like, I'm going to go read the books and whatever. You know, they don't get that opportunity. We as humans have the privilege and the opportunity to wake up every day and consciously decide who we're going to be and how we're going to be in the world. I think a lot of us forget that part. That just because our habit brain, just because our unconscious programming is this, doesn't mean that we don't also have this conscious part that gets to write the story. So when we're, you know, we need to remember there are eyes on us at all times and looking for us to lead and not just sit back and continue the narratives.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like, you know, being 29, you hear like, oh, you're 30, you're going to be old now. And then the older I get, I'm just like, wait, I feel
the 30s are the best decade. Girl, I'm going to tell you right now, my 30s were the year. That was the decade that I started not giving a shit about some stuff. My 20s, I was a hot wreck.
I'm like, you guys told me this was going to be a scary thing, but the closer I get to 30, like, it keeps getting better and better. And I think that's just going to continue to be the case.
Yes, it's the year. I think it's the year you really feel like an adult. I know that sounds crazy. I know you have kids and stuff, but like in your 30s, there's a transformation that happens. Your outlook changes. You start giving less fucks about shit. Like, that happens, you know, and then you wait till your 40s. Then you really give less fucks. Go ahead, though. You got to control me. You can't just let me run off at the mouth.
This is good. I think we balance each other out really well. I mean, can you imagine if there was two of me or two of you? I mean, it would not be good.
Yeah, exactly.
I was listening to a webinar that Sonya Renee Taylor did recently, and she said something on there that I wanted to repeat here. You know, we say things sometimes like, oh, I don't like my nose. So she was talking about, she's like, I don't like my nose, but why? And then you're thinking, oh, it's too wide. And then she's like, but who told you that? Who told you that having a wide nose is a problem?
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. It's just like, why is my, like, that's such a good question. I'm actually going to journal about this. I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm going to journal about why is my loose skin and why is my scars? Why is that a problem? Like, who said?
Yeah.
And it's so crazy how much we define ourselves. Like, I'm just sitting here thinking as we're having this conversation, we just keep talking about our external. We forget to define ourselves by who we are. I mean, I want all of you to see this. If I get caught up in the trap of defining myself by how I look, and let me just say, and well, let's all agree, I'm pretty fucking wonderful. But seriously, it's so easy for me to give that no to little airtime unless I'm talking to you guys. In my head, what gets my airtime? The things that I think should change.
And how much awesome shit about yourself are you missing out on when you're spending all your time and energy on that?
Exactly. Exactly. Y'all are cracking me up in the comments.
I know. Shops a lot said, like, wait till your 50s. It gets even better.
I know.
Someone said, try your 60s. You guys, I just believe it. Like, I just know it's going to keep getting better and better every decade. Okay. And so, okay, I think it's a good time to move on to like the top two questions that we saw around the book.
Okay.
So, and we've kind of already touched on a little bit, but a lot of our ladies were asking, like, if we love our bodies just where we are, why are we all trying to lose weight and transform our bodies to something different?
Well, I think this is a good question. Like, I actually was thinking about this, like, while I was like sitting around getting ready for the call and stuff. I think one of the things is it's hard for us to believe that it's hard for us to separate that there's any other reasons to lose weight other than body shame or to fit in. So I was thinking about when I was losing weight, and I am not going to say that there wasn't some body shame for sure, that there wasn't all that. But I think what helped me was what I teach you guys. there was a lot of me wanting to be someone different. I had realized that I was really done with the version of me that couldn't have a bad day. It was either I had to numb out on food or the world needed to behave, which caused like my husband to have to walk around on eggshells around me because I was very emotionally fragile. And unless I was eating, then I was emotionally fragile. And it put a strain on our relationship. I used food just like anybody else would use drugs to escape their life. For me, a lot of my weight loss had to do with that. I did not want to be that person anymore. I literally wanted to be someone who believed in themselves. Now, I got there through weight loss because what I did was I ended up learning how to talk differently to myself, which reduced the need for me to eat all the time. I wanted to be someone who enjoyed more out of their life than just the next meal where we were going out to eat and stuff. You know, Chris and I's relationship we've always had an amazing marriage. The man has loved me through thick and thin for sure. But, you know, when I was at my heaviest and worst in my mindset, it was like going out to eat. That was it. I didn't want to have sex anymore. It was painful. It was painful emotionally. I needed to do a lot of body work. I had gotten where I couldn't play in the floor with my son. And I was, you know, like 30. It was like your age and I couldn't even get up and down out of the floor. I've told this story before, but I was starting to get scared that if he ran out into the street, I couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
I had a lot of reasons to lose weight that didn't have anything. It was like quality of life, what I wanted for myself. I wanted more for myself than a life that revolved around what we were going for dinner, where we were going to eat, how much was I going to get, you know, trying to pick out on the menu, like what looked like the biggest portion size. Like I just didn't realize how much of my life had become so much around food that I was missing out on my life. And I didn't want to do that anymore. And so a lot of my weight loss was around that. And I think that's one of the things that's important for all of you is that to ask yourself questions like, what does losing weight from love look like? Who is that that I want to be at the end of the day? Not what you want to weigh and what size you want to be, but who do you want to be?
I think for a lot of us that happens as we go along, we kind of start out from like not liking the way you look or a lot of shameful thoughts about the way you look to the more you go on and the more, you know, you learn about thought work and self-love, it starts to become more of like, who do I want to be? Like, how strong do I want to feel? How like active, how just like my body. I know for me, it's been a lot of that. Like it just started out like, oh, you know, I knew I had put on like a good 30, 35 pounds. I didn't like it. All my clothes felt so tight, so uncomfortable. I knew I couldn't move the same. And as I've gone on, it's just been more of like, it's not even the number. It's just like physically, how do I feel? How many overeats am I still having? Like, how much am I still relying on food to feel better or not? Like, where else am I getting joy in my life? And just getting to this body where it feels like it matches up with who I want to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Even for me, like there were just clothes I wanted to wear that I wasn't going to get at the size that I was in. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. And this is the thing, like I'm thinking about like Coach Judith, who was here last Saturday. That doesn't mean that at your current size, you have to dress like shit and stuff.
Right.
But that also doesn't mean that you have to like not want something else too. Like we can treat ourselves well here while getting this also. It's even better when you do it that way. Because you learn how to really, you know, one of the things I'm working on with the self-sabotage is we have to be able to have the capacity to really like have our new weight and have our new body. If you get there through worry and hate, you stay there. You're requiring yourself to be worried and hate yourself while you're there. You'll find ways to do it. You have to untrain your brain. But I think it's just, we're not taught in society that there is, like, if you ever look at like weight loss commercials, you'll see the messaging. When they're before pictures, they always look fucking miserable. Nobody ever looks happy. Even yeah. my before picture, well, I didn't have very mean, but you know, it's like, you have to think about right now, it is my duty to myself to figure out compassion and understanding and love and like to be the one that decides you're more than what society says you are at your current size, no matter what it is. I just think I will just tell all of you, it's not an easy concept. I don't think it's an easy concept. Right. It's one that your brain wants to wrestle and argue. Even as I'm teaching, my brain wants to wrestle and argue these topics. But that's only because of the stuff that we've been programmed and learned all of our lives.
Yeah, for sure. And I see you working out a lot too. I know recently, like you're doing legs, you know, going really hard with your legs again. Where, you know, what place are you doing that from? I know you like to feel strong. I know you like your bolder shoulders.
Bolder shoulders.
Yeah. Because sometimes we want to work out from this place of like, oh, like I should. It's, you know, it's this healthy thing to do, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, you don't seem to do it from that place.
No. In fact, I just hired a trainer who is an online trainer that mm-hmm. a friend of mine had recommended. And today he was asking me, he said, now I know you. Like he said, I did my research on you and stuff. He mm-hmm. said, why do you need me? And mm-hmm. I said, super simple. I was like, we were doing a test workout. And I said, you were telling me how many reps to do. And in my brain, about when I kept thinking, every time I was about 5 reps from the end, I thought, man, if I wasn't sitting here with this dude, I would have just been like, that's good enough. I told him, I said, I don't want good enough workouts anymore. And I was like, I'm also like, I'm not too proud to say that I know I want somebody else to push me. I don't want to spend my mental energy pushing myself here. I push myself in enough places in life on my own. I want to push the easy button with you. I want you to do the planning and stuff. And I said, I love working out enough to know that if I keep being the one planning it, I told him, I said, I go in when it's time to work out. I said, I finally quit working while I work out. I said, but that doesn't mean I don't think about work while I'm working out. And I said, today, when I was working out with you, I did not think about work. I said, that's what I want. I want the break. And, you know, you're going to help me do all of that. Yeah. But I feel like for me, working out it was always a means to lose weight until this last time that I lost weight. Every other time I would go to the gym and I would punish myself for being overweight. That was the attitude that I went in. I literally would go in and tell myself, I have to do this. This is the only way. You know, you need to be here longer than everybody else. I did all kinds of crazy shit. And every
crazy diet. We need to look a certain way. Oh, we got to have that snatched waist and the big booty and the arms have to look good and they can't be, you know, jiggly. Like, I like how you said, like, no, I just love to work out. I just love to be pushed. I just like that challenge. It feels good. That's how I am too. Like, it hurts, it burns, but it feels good. And it feels good to be strong and knowing that, like, taking
that's me. Like, I like when I first started exercising this last time, my mind had changed. I was determined to be an athlete. I'd never been one. And I was going to figure out how to give myself the gift of being an athlete. And an athlete is not defined by how fast they are or how strong they are or at what level they compete. An athlete is defined as an athlete's mindset. Mm. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be someone that could go to the gym and push themselves. I wanted to be someone that knew their way around the gym. I love lifting weights to this day. You know, if I was going to a gym, when I work out at hotels and stuff, I am always looking for men to make sure that I'm still lifting heavier than most of the men.
That's badass. I love it.
I enjoy that stuff, but that is part of it. It's like, I do all of it because I love myself so much. Like, I'm so proud of myself and I love the challenge. And I think when we talk about losing weight and stuff, there are more reasons to lose weight other than you not being good enough.
Right.
There's challenge and excitement and all kinds of things. So go ahead.
So, is it Darla put in the comments? It's a Bill Bowerman quote. If you have a body, you are an athlete. I love that.
Me too.
For me, I was an athlete in high school, like 11th and 12th grade. I played soccer and volleyball and I just loved it so much. I loved running. I loved all of it. And I was just like, I just always want to feel like that. I don't care if I have kids. I want to be able to play tag with them and beat them. I want to be able to teach them how to do a cartwheel. I want to be able to just run up the stairs, carry them on my back or whatever. So that's a big reason. I'm like, that's why I want to work out, because I want to be able to like carry them always. Okay, we'll move on to the second question that we saw. And this one touched me a little bit because, you know, I'm a mom, I have two girls. So we had some of our ladies say in the Facebook group, she said, well, that's how I read it. I said, our members don't want to pass on the burden to their kids of hating their body or feeling shame or self-loathing around it. They worry that they won't say the right thing during that conversation. So, you know, they decide not to have the conversation at all. And maybe they know their kids have heard them or seen them say kind of the wrong things or not nice things about their body. Like, how do we even talk about this, Corinne? If you have kids, if you've struggled with your weight and your body, how do you even begin to talk about this?
I think the first thing is don't focus on the conversation at first. Focus on you changing your own inner conversation so that you are displaying a whole different you. The research that I've done when it comes to kids, because you know, I like to read about stuff like that. Kids, they watch, and this is the way that their primal instinct is designed up until they're like 18 or 19. So like, don't even think about like, oh, if my kid's like 12, I've ruined them. You have not. They like, I believe their brain, I can't promise you guys this information, but I was reading something about this recently. It seems like the reasoning part of the brain, the very conscious part of the brain, it for a kid doesn't really completely finish its job until about 25. That's about when the cycle is complete. It's way later in life than what we give them credit for. So up until that point, because their conscious brain and their reasoning brain is very immature, they have a very strong unconscious brain that's always scanning and noting and looking at the world and figuring out like, okay, if my mom's doing this or my mom is acting this way, they watch for patterns and stuff. That must mean that's the way I should be doing it. That's how their brains form. It has way little to do with what you say. It has way more to do with which you display and model.
Exactly.
So for a lot of you, when it comes to thinking about your kids and wanting them to have, you know, like healthy habits, healthy thought patterns and stuff, say healthy thought patterns out loud. Let your daughters see you be the first to take a selfie. To be the first one, like when we're doing a family portrait, don't sit there and think your kids don't notice when you're always the one that wants to take a picture, when you're the one that's always trying to like wiggle your way to the back. All of that is unconscious programming that happens. Like they'll think, I wonder why my mom, like think about the brain.
And a lot of times they'll ask you.
Yeah, or they'll just be like, I wonder why my mom is always in the back. Oh, she's hiding her body.
They start to pick up on that.
Bodies should be hidden. Bodies that don't look like everybody else's. I guess we're supposed to hide them. That's how that brain works. The childlike brain makes a lot of assumptions and conclusions by what it's taking in around itself. That's why it's important for, like, if you want your kids to have healthy body images, the best thing you can do for them is talk about your own body in a healthy way. Don't just not say anything.
Yeah.
You gotta be like, I look good today. I don't care what your size is. Say it anyway. You know, it's just like, there's just those things. I think that's the first part. It's always got to start with the modeling. And then, like, you know, like with Logan and stuff, you know, like I just talk to him all the time. Like I say it in subtle ways. I don't like, we don't have to sit down and have a deep conversation. But I often just say things like, you know, like, I just love your smile. You have my smile. Like saying little things like that lets them know, like, I see something that I love about me in you. And that signals, I love this body. I find things about me that I love. Those are the things that we want to be thinking about.
Yeah. And I think if they ask you any questions, I think especially when they're real little, they'll just ask you anything and just answer and just be honest. Just if you're worried about not knowing the answer, just do the best you can from a place of love. And just, you know, sometimes we're figuring it out too. And we're figuring out how to explain it to them, you know? My girls will ask me like, oh, mommy, why are you putting on lipstick? Or why are you, I just want to, I just love putting on lipstick, you know, like there's no reason other than I just want to, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I love my lips. I mean, saying something like, I just love my lips. Like Logan asked me the other day about my makeup and I said, I love my face. I looked at him. I was like, I love my face like that. I was like, it deserves to be. I think I called it etched and sketched or something like that. I know he's like, my mother is everything. We have a question. Do you mean answer the question now, or do you want to wait until you get through your notes?
No, this is it. We're good.
Okay. Anybody who has questions, if you guys want to ask in the Q&A, we can answer a few questions. We might not get to all of them, but we will for sure get to some of them. Let me put my glasses on.
This is a good one.
Can you speak to the choice for plastic surgery of any type, boobs, skin, nose, et cetera, in view of this conversation about body acceptance? Yeah, I just think it's a personal choice. You know, I'm not going to tell you guys some shit. Now, when I was first having plastic surgery, I will say when I had plastic surgery on my boobs, I don't think it came from a negative place. I was so excited to get boobs. I had one down here, one up here. I'd lost so much weight. They were just, you know, they were looking the way they were looking. I wanted good boobs. Now, it didn't feel bad to me. It didn't feel like I didn't go have surgery because I was beating myself up over my boobs. I was just really focused on what I wanted. Yeah, and I was okay with
that. I hate this. It was like, oh, I want that. Like, it was, yes. Yeah.
I think for me, the focus was in just like this place for me. You know, I just, Chris loved big set of titties. I didn't have any more. And you know, I wanted a big set. Well, there we go. Y'all don't know. I used to have much bigger ones than these. I've taken them down. And I finally was like, we had a lot of fun for 10 years. We're going to take them down a notch. But now my other surgeries, my legs, I will tell all of you, did not come. And I think that's why I still have work to do on my legs. I was trying to fix something I hated. That surgery was not coming from a good place. I think that my tummy tuck, it was probably the most neutral one. It was more of just like, I've got loose skin. I know I can do this. I'd like to take care of that. I didn't sit around hating my stomach all the time, but I will tell you guys, when I got my legs like worked on, it was coming from like disgust and hate and stuff. And I will tell you, they look so much better than they used to. I have some pictures and I still talk to them the same way. I am constantly working on the relationship with my legs. You know, my brain, and I will tell you, I say lots of nice things about them now. I catch them in angles. Like I am able to appreciate them now.
But it wasn't the surgery that magically made that happen.
No, it was hours upon hours of looking in the mirror and looking at them and making myself say nice things. It was wearing shorts when I was like first mortified and going out anyway. It was a lot of, you know what? These are my legs. It's fucking July in Nashville. I'm wearing shorts. And a lot of having other people look at my legs, make comments. I can't tell you how many people have asked me, you know, what happened? Something must have really bad happened for you to have such scars. You know, just all that kind of stuff. And it took a lot of work. And I would say now I'm like, I am neutral to the stage of appreciation. Like I'm really in the learning stage, but my habit brain is just like it was all the years from the, I mean, I hated my legs from about the age of 10. I don't know if that voice will ever die, but that doesn't mean that I don't continue to work on it all the time, because at the end of the day, I love myself enough to not let my life be run by my legs.
So I guess the question to ask there is there already a lot of like kind of self-hating talk about this part of your body, or is there not? Would you say for someone who wants to work on this, do you start just by neutralizing some of these thoughts and then laddering up?
Yeah, I think especially because I don't think Missy would mind me telling this, but you know, Missy has also had a lot of the same plastic surgery I have, and she still really struggles with her body image. You know, having plastic surgery just doesn't fix a broken mindset.
Yeah.
You know, like I think about like my boobs versus my legs versus my stomach. I didn't sit around hating my boobs. I sat around thinking like, you know, yeah, you nursed kids, you know, you lost a lot of weight. That's why they look the way they do. It was very just like, it was not a heated conversation. There was no like looking in the mirror with tons of like hatred and like disgust and blame. Like, oh, if only you'd never gained weight. Like, if I hadn't done all that, like if I had been doing that with my boobs, I don't even know if getting a boob job would have fixed it. They still would have, there would have been something wrong with them. I know I would have pulled them apart.
Yeah.
The rest of my body where I didn't have those similar relationships, I kept the same behavior. Now, at first, was so proud of like the plastic. I was like, oh my God, I look so different, which is what happens is your brain, at first, it's like all new. It's just going to have lots of new thoughts at first until it's like, okay, the newness is over. Then it wants to revert back to the same thought patterns that you had. That's why fixing things on the outside never works. That's why you have to fall in love. It's an internal job first. So if you were going to have plastic surgery, guys, what I suggest you guys do is get really good first at neutralizing your body and just being like, I'm so proud of myself for losing all this weight. Of course I have loose skin, but I'm so proud of myself for all, like switching it back to what am I proud of? Look at the life you've created. Look at all the things. And if you're so focused on all that, you may or may not want those surgeries at that point.
Right. How long do you think it takes to work on something like this, Corinne?
Years. I mean, I just think so. And I think it's like one of those things where for
giving
me,
it at least a year before you decide, maybe.
I would say for everybody who would ever want to like do any kind of plastic surgery for weight loss, I would do it like I did. I lost my weight first. I kept my weight off for a couple of years. I adjusted to my body. I lived in that body for a while before I started tinkering on that body. I didn't even have my boobs until after I'd lost my weight a couple of years. Then once I did the problem that I had was I wasn't a life coach back then. I thought that my boobs made me happy. I didn't realize that I was so proud of my weight loss and I didn't blame my boobs for anything, that it was very natural for me to be very proud of them when I got them. Because there was no backstory. There was nothing that was going to sneak up on me. The rest of my body, you know, like if I was going to look back and do it all over again, I would have spent more time appreciating the person that I had become. And not allowing myself to pull myself apart in the mirror so much. Like I was proud of the weight loss. I was I loved being an athlete and stuff, but I allowed myself way too much time in the mirror, pulling myself apart. And I will be also honest, guys, a lot of, you guys won't have to go through this like I did, but, I didn't have such a distorted body image until I was doing, bodybuilding competitions and figure competitions. And then that's a lot of my mind got kind of wrapped in that area because basically, if y'all don't know, what happens is you lose a lot of weight. So I'd already lost a lot of weight. Then I wanted to compete. So I was lifting very heavy and you had to be severely underweight to look good on stage. You have to be severely underweight. Well, for somebody who has already a butt ton of loose skin, severely underweight, not a great look. And in those competitions, they grade you based on their opinion of your body. And for me, it mind fucked me in a lot of ways. And so y'all won't ever have to go through that. But I will tell you, I don't regret any of it because it's made me learn more about why I think the way I do. I think it helps me explain to you guys more about, you know, like really loving your body. Truly loving it. And just don't wait for the day that your brain no longer throws shade at you to start loving your body.
Yeah.
Because if you wait for that, it will never come. You have to allow for that conversation, but you just have to allow it to happen, but not attach to that conversation. If I can get you guys to separate from the attachment to your thoughts, the world gets opened up for you.
Yeah. And sometimes it can help, you know, to think about it like this. You know, a lot of us have kids, not all of us do, but sometimes I think about how my girls look at my body. You know, maybe, you know, I have this loose skin and the stretch marks. And my 4-year-old, especially, she'll just come up to me and she loves my belly. She loves how jiggly it is. She loves playing with it. And it's just like, yeah, just because I think it's flabby or whatever, or I'm bloated, or I don't like how big my stomach is looking right now. Like, she loves it. She loves me at any size. At any size, she would love me, and she would still want to just come up to me and hug me and love me. And sometimes it's good just to jump into somebody else's perspective of you. They just love you, whether it's your kid, a friend, your parent, your sibling. I mean, they just always love you. So, like, why am I not loving myself in that same way? Like, they just love you. There's no... you know, size requirement, but the love is just there.
And that's one of the things, like to feel love is just a matter of having a loving thought. Like, even when you're like in your head about your belly, right? And just remembering, my daughter loves this belly. Like, if you think about just the sentence, yeah. So how does the sentence, my daughter loves this belly, feel to you?
Well, it feels good. It feels like uplifting. It just feels, I feel loved.
That's why. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I said,
she loves it because she knows she was in there and she loves that.
And that is something to remember. So, like, you know, a lot of times I think that we think we have to go like, all right, I'm sitting here and I'm squishy belly, right? Like, well, now I'm going to like, I've got to. So the only other thought that I should have is, my belly is amazing. Look, that's usually one of those unicorn thoughts that it would be amazing if we could get there. But our brain says, that's like taking a trip across the pond over to England. We ain't going to be able to do it right now. But I bet you that when you get in your head about your belly, that if you said, and my daughter is amazed that she got to live in it.
Yeah.
That is like a thought that you can jump to that has a nice like feeling right along attached to it that says like, hey, why don't we focus on that?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we focus on that aspect of love?
And everything is just, you know, there's rules and I catch my reflection and my first thought is like, oh, but then it's, oh, you know what? Well, Celeste loves my belly. She would see it like this and she would just love it.
Yeah. Somebody asked, let's see, hang on. Somebody asked a question in the chat and I'm trying to find it.
Shops a Lot said this discussion about the skin surgery is worth the price of the book.
Thank you, Shops a Lot. One of the questions from the book was, what are you willing to stop struggling to understand for the sake of peace? I think, how do you connect this idea to our weight loss journey? Like for me, so I'm trying to think of some good examples. Like, are you willing to stop struggling to understand like why I don't love myself already? Like some of us will just sit around and spend so much time trying to answer the question, why don't I love myself? It's like, I don't know about you guys, but if I ask that question, my brain is going to offer up the wrong answers.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's so-and-so's fault. And, you know, if only this hadn't happened in your past. And like, your brain has a really, it's got something called the reticular activation system. It is the filter of your brain. The best way I've heard it described lately was Dr. Matt Park said, it's called lint in your brain, L-I-N-T. And it's called, I can't remember exactly, but it's like lesser something, negative thoughts. So just think about it. It's like lint is like the negative thoughts. Your brain is, you're always going to have to clean your filter out. And right. So like, who cares why? Those are some of the things like for a long time, I struggled, like, I just don't know why I don't love my body. And so then my brain would be like, well, I'll tell you why. Because you got loose skin. It looks like shit. You got all these scars, blah, 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 blah. It's like, what if I just gave that part up?
Yeah. Or the drama that we have around, like, you know, why do I have to have this body type, this shape, or this type of hair, or whatever. Like, there's all of that, too. Like, yeah. We lose our weight, and, well, I just wish I had that body type.
I think the way that the brain works is you will always wish for, all right, you talk. I'm going to find this quote on Instagram that I read a while ago. Talk to them about something.
Okay, let me just see if there's any other questions here in the chat. Donna said, I love the beginning of the book where the woman described her mama's belly with so much love. Yeah, me too. For me, I'm willing to stop struggling with being a plus size. So what if I'm a 20 or have to shop at Torrid or Lane Bryant? I deserve to wear pretty clothes that fit right and make me feel good. I hope you guys all listened to Judith's call last Saturday because...
Yeah, it's the one with Coach Judith Gatton. So let me read this to you. This was from, if you guys want to follow, hashtag normalize normal bodies on Instagram. I follow that account. I think it's really good. Yeah. Girls with curly hair, straighten it. Girls with straight hair, curl it.
Yeah.
White girls get spray tans. I was like, well, yeah, I got one of those today. Dark girls are encouraged to look whiter. Thick girls are told to lose weight. Thin girls try to be thick. I'm starting to wonder if the standard of beauty is just anything but who I am.
Yeah.
And that, I thought, I read it, you know, as I was getting ready, and I thought, that is such a good question for all of us. It's like,
yeah,
how, like, what is it going to take for us to just say, I like me. I don't need to change. I am going to learn to love this rather than I am going to continue. Like, and this is the thing. I want to tie this back to weight loss. I know it's confusing. But I don't want you guys, this is where I think it gets so confusing, is if I love this, why would I lose weight? It's like, answer the question. Why would you? What, like, we have to quit assuming the only reason that we're losing weight is to be acceptable, to find love. Like, acceptance and love are feelings. Those can be had by our thoughts. But there are maybe things that you want more for yourself. And that's when we tie back to what I was talking about earlier. I didn't want to be eating my face off or depressed for the rest of my life.
Right.
Because the only way that I knew to medicate myself was to continue to eat. I wanted to figure out how to truly like me. And that meant for me taking away food as a coping mechanism. Most of us here in No BS are here because We use food to feel better, to pass the time. We eat more than we need to, knowing we're going to have heartburn. We're not going to sleep as well. Like, some of us aren't even like binging and eating our faces off because of a bad day. Some of us tell ourselves the lie that we have more fun when we overeat, except when we wake up the next day, our sleep wasn't as good. We can't play with our kids the way we would want. There's a million reasons to lose weight outside of hate. Find them.
Yeah.
And then if you don't
want to be.
Yeah. And some of you may find you're actually fucking happy where you're at when you clean it all up. And what if there's nothing wrong with that either? What if you just get to be happy? Even if you didn't end up losing weight, like, because I don't want to sit here and say that y'all all have to lose weight in order, like, to be a good NoBS member and stuff. But wouldn't it be worth the price of admission here? For some of you, you all, like, I see posts like this all the time. I didn't even lose weight this year, but I lost like 30 pounds of my mental weight. I think I'm actually ready to start trying what it would be like to eat more fruits and vegetables from a place of more energy, better poop, things like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have about 10 more pounds that I want to lose, and I know that I love my body right now as it is. I know that I could stay here, but I choose to keep losing a little bit more weight because I know I still have some emotional eating to clean up. And that's more important to me than the number that I end up at, you know? Yeah. And like passing along that good example to my kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Anything else you want to cover before we get off here?
No, that's it. I want you to go enjoy your vacation. I hope you have a great week.
I am. And I'm bringing all the shorts because I'm going to be in Phoenix. I got some sunscreen today. So I'm going to wear the shorts. I'm going to be with my bestie, which is going to be good. And I'll tell you guys, when me and Jane get together, like, I don't even know why I call it a non-working vacation. We literally will spend 3 days talking about all kinds of thought work stuff. And like, she'll be like, this will be great for your membership. She's like, the newbies women will need to hear this.
So. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight, Corinne.
Yeah, no, I really wanted to be here for this one. And y'all enjoy next month's book. Yep, it's going to be good. I thought it was, I read it a few years ago and I loved that book. And I know you guys will love it. It's very, it's a good kick in the ass motivational book. So I think you'll really like it.
Yeah. I know this book might have been a tad uncomfortable for some of us just learning about radical self-love and what's possible, but I think this will be a good next pick a little bit more.
Sometimes you got to get out of that comfort zone a little bit and be like, what? We're going to love ourselves?
I'm not no sure about this.
What do you mean we're going to love ourselves no matter what? What kind of voodoo are you teaching us?
All right. Thanks so much.
Good night, y'all. Y'all have a good one. Night.